It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. Ross Tucker, Evan Silva, presented by BetOnline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast, because they have the best odds and the fastest payouts, and you get a big-time bonus if you use the code BIGFEAST. Evan, of course, is the star of the show. I absolutely acknowledge that. That's because he is the superstar from RotoWorld.com. Highly encourage you to check him out on Twitter, at Evan Silva, and really appreciate those of you that retweet when Evan posts the show, or when I do, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram. My Facebook, if you're a Facebook-only dude, that's fine. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We do take questions, by the way. It's really interesting. We get a lot of questions for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a lot of questions for the Even Money Podcast, not as many here on the Fantasy Feast Podcast. In fact, like, hardly any. So evidently you guys don't have expert questions you've always wanted to ask a guy like Evan Silva. I would, but for whatever reason, you guys don't, so I just get to ask him. We are continuing our series in terms of position rankings. We will do wide receivers next week. Today, we are doing tight ends as we continue our best ball early rankings, because we know a lot of you just love drafting, love fantasy football, and you're already doing some best ball leagues, which is awesome. And we want to make sure you know what Evan's rankings are. So, without further ado. All right, Evan, let's start with number 32, the outlaw, Jesse James.
Jesse James, when Vance McDonald was healthy this past season, and Vance McDonald struggled with recurring knee injuries, but whenever he was healthy, Jesse James was the Steelers' blocking tight end, which suggests to me that the Steelers don't really envision Jesse James as their pass-catching tight end of the future. And he may eventually get replaced by one of these rookies. I have watched a couple of the rookie tight ends, but I haven't seen all of them. I know that Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State is currently the highest-rated tight end. He probably will replace Jesse James on this list eventually, but I didn't stick any rookies on here because I just had not put the work in yet.
Got it. Okay. 31, Rico Gathers. I know this is your guy, and it reminds me of that awesome song, Rico Suave. So there's a double bonus here for this guy.
I do like Rico Gathers a lot. I loved him last preseason. He looked like a special athlete out there during the Cowboys preseason, and he even got some reps with the ones, and he capitalized, made big plays with the ones. He winds up suffering a concussion. There are like all kinds of rumors about him that he's like, that the coaching staff doesn't like him, that he may not be able to flourish in Dallas, that he may need to actually go somewhere else, that he was healthy last year, even though he essentially spent the year on injured reserve listed with a concussion. So I don't really know what's up with Rico Gathers, but I do know that I think he can play. He's a former basketball player. He's kind of paid his dues for a couple years. I just think it's going to come down to opportunity. He may move up. He may move out of this top 32. But right now I have him in there because I think he's a talented player with upside.
Next up, you've got number 30, Julius Thomas. Remember when this guy was a lot higher?
Yeah. He saves the Dolphins $6.6 million in salary cap room if released. So I think he's going to get cut. That's probably not, if that happens, probably not a good sign for him. You know, Adam Gase is the only coach under which Julius Thomas has had NFL success. Peyton Manning is the only quarterback with whom Julius Thomas has had NFL success. He's not that old. I mean, he's not even 30 years old yet, and it looks like he's run out of gas. I don't know where he's going to be playing this year. He's another guy that maybe could move up a little bit, could also move down, and maybe not even get signed until later in the offseason.
Up next, you got a couple Rams back-to-back, 29 Tyler Higbee, 28 Gerald Everett.
Yeah, Tyler Higbee was more the blocker last year, blocked on 62% of his snaps last season. Gerald Everett was the big play tight end. He lined up at wide receiver at times. He ran routes against cornerbacks. He showed big play potential. He averaged 15.3 yards per catch in a timeshare with Tyler Higbee. I think that if Sammy Watkins moves on, a guy like Gerald Everett could move up the target ladder a little bit for the Rams. He is obviously the upside tight end for the Rams, and Tyler Higbee is kind of like the lower ceiling guy just because he blocks so much.
Number 27, Vance McDonald.
Talked about him a little bit already. He was the Steelers' receiving tight end whenever he was healthy last year. In the playoffs, he had a monster game against Jacksonville, actually led the team in targets with like 16. He saves the Steelers $4.3 million if he's released. He came to Pittsburgh via trade on that contract that old 49ers GM Trent Baalke signed him to. Like that was Trent Baalke's last, his parting gift to the 49ers was signing Vance McDonald to this big contract. He ends up on the Steelers. The Steelers have that contract now. Now, Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, was talking on Tuesday as if Vance McDonald will be back. I'm not sure. You know, the Steelers never have a great salary cap situation. They don't again this year. And they may need to fit a lump sum for Le'Veon Bell's franchise tag under their cap. So it sounds nice that Kevin Colbert is talking nicely about Vance McDonald. I'm not totally sold that he's going to be back. I think if he does come back, he could move up a bunch of spots in these rankings. You like pass catchers that are attached to Ben Roethlisberger in an explosive passing offense.
Okay, how about Vernon Davis at 26?
He's the Jordan Reed insurance policy. Last year, he was the tight end 14 in non-PPR, the tight end 16 in PPR. We have him at 26 here. I'm just not sure what to think about Jordan Reed from a health standpoint at this point. We know that Vernon Davis can still play, but he is going to probably need Jordan Reed to again miss time in order to become a fantasy factor. And that's why he's low here, even after being a pretty productive fantasy tight end last season. We can move on to the next one.
All right, next one is Adam Shaheen, number 25.
Candidate for the Travis Kelce role under Matt Nagy. I thought that he flashed as a rookie. He was very, very efficient, caught something like 12 of his 14 targets. Didn't get on the field a whole lot. When he was on the field, he was blocking a ton. I mean, that's how the Bears used their tight ends under their old OC. I think that they will be probably a lot more aggressive using their tight ends as passing game weapons, and Adam Shaheen in particular, under Matt Nagy, who coached Travis Kelce in Kansas City. You know, they would use Demetrius Harris, their number two tight end, in the passing game as well. You know, they I think they're going to run more spread concepts, and they're just going to have more receivers, pass catchers on the field under Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich. So Adam Shaheen has a chance to take a sophomore leap.
Number 24, Tyler Kroft.
Tyler Eifert is tentatively expected to hit the free agent market, although there have been some whispers that he could be a sneaky, like, franchise or transition tag candidate. Tight end has the lowest tag numbers of any position. So if like a surprise tight end gets tagged, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a surprise to us. Ultimately, I think that Tyler Eifert probably hits the free agent market, and Tyler Kroft has a chance to become the Bengals tight end of the future. You know, I don't think he's like a dynamic game-breaking tight end, but he's on the radar simply because he has a lot of opportunity. And he had some good games last year, and he should keep getting better.
23 is my Ivy League buddy, Cam Brate.
Cam Brate has 14 touchdowns over the past two seasons. I think that this is low for him at tight end 23. I'm concerned that he will take more of a backseat to O.J. Howard. He actually wound up last year playing fewer snaps than I thought. He was still on the field for most passing downs, almost all passing downs. But he lost more snaps than I expected. He still wound up being relatively productive. But, I mean, O.J. Howard was getting ready to pass him before O.J. Howard suffered a year-ending ankle injury. And so I'm concerned that Cameron Brate starts to get weeded out a little bit and just becomes a guy that you can't rely on in fantasy. And in best ball, you're probably one as like your third tight end as opposed to your first or second guy.
What about David Njoku in Cleveland?
Thought he showed enormous potential as a rookie. He is another guy who didn't play a full snap share, 47% of the snaps last year. Lingering quarterback concerns. I think that the hope is that David Njoku gets a lot more playing time in his second season, and the Browns figure out ways to get him on the field along with Seth DeVal. This was one of the most maddening things about the Browns last year is that, you know, why couldn't they use Seth DeVal as like a slot tight end and use David Njoku as an inline tight end? David Njoku is a big, big-time talent. I think that I have him low here for as high as I am on his ability.
You mentioned him earlier, number 21, Tyler Eifert.
27-year-old free agent has missed 40 of 64 possible games, 63% of possible games over the past four seasons. We know what Tyler Eifert can do when he's healthy, and he's rarely been healthy. So he's going to be a really interesting guy on the free agent market. You know, what kind of a deal is he going to get? I think his best bet is to sign a one-year deal somewhere, kind of like try to demonstrate durability for a season. You know, he could end up being a steal, and he could end up easily back on the injured reserve list. I mean, last offseason, one of the things that I did, I went back and looked at Tyler Eifert's injury history, and it is shockingly long. Like, it is, he's hurt like every body part.
Yeah, it's such a shame. What about number 20, my guy, Trey Burton? I was ahead of the Trey train.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. And he has a chance to move up. I mean, if he lands in a really good landing spot, I could see him up, I mean, maybe five, six, seven spots higher on this list. We know what he can do. You know, he's gotten opportunities the past two seasons. Whenever Zach Ertz has missed time, Trey Burton has rolled. And even, you know, in some games where Zach Ertz was out there, Trey Burton would still show playmaking ability. 26 years old, he's a free agent. If he lands in a good landing spot where he has a chance to get a lot of targets, he could zoom up these rankings. So, you know, his ranking here is conservative just because we don't know what team he's going to be playing for in 2018. I don't think he's going to be back with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't either. How about number 20, Austin Seferian Jenkins? Number 19, I'm sorry.
Another free agent, 25 years old. The Jets have been making Seferian Jenkins, resigning him, a priority. We kind of know how they're going to use him based on last year. He played every single snap when he was in there. He didn't show a lot of big playability, averaged under 10 yards per catch, should have scored like three more touchdowns than he actually did, but you know, it seemed like a weekly occurrence that he would lose a touchdown due to officiating or replay or whatever. But I think he showed enough. He's a guy that struggled with alcohol problems early in his career, and he's been sober for longer than a full calendar year at this point. The Jets reportedly offered him a two-year, $8 million deal. He turned it down, as he should have. He's worth more than that. But I think that he's going to be back with the Jets, and I think he's going to have a prominent role on a team where there's a lot of uncertainty throughout the rest of the pass catcher corps. Robbie Anderson keeps getting arrested. Jermaine Kearse, you know, I think he's okay. And then Quincy Anunua, he's a restricted free agent coming off a severe neck injury.
Number 18, you referenced him earlier, Jordan Reed. Man, Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert, some of these guys, it's just such a shame.
I know. And I know that Jordan Reed had a reputation for being highly injury prone even before last year, and as he should have, but he hadn't missed like a ton of games. You know, he had only missed like 6 games over the previous 2 seasons. Last year, he misses like 14. And it seems like it's getting worse. And he's always going to have that. He's always going to be that concussion risk. You know, he's had like 5 or 6 documented concussions since Florida. And you just wonder, you know, could he abruptly hang up his cleats because he's dealt with so many injuries? He's only 27 years old. I think that in best ball right now, he's going late enough that he is intriguing where he's going. But you also have to understand that, you know, you risk getting a lot of goose eggs, weekly goose eggs, if you put chips into Jordan Reed's basket. But I think that, hey, if he's healthy, he can absolutely smash his ADP. And I think that his game kind of fits well with Alex Smith, the Redskins' new quarterback.
Number 17, Austin Hooper.
Including the playoffs last year, he went over 50 yards in only 1 of 18 games. I expected a little bit more from Austin Hooper in his second season. Maybe that will come in year 3. I don't think he's not going to have much buzz or hype, I think, in the fantasy community. I don't think that his ADP is ever going to get out of control. The Falcons are returning Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Don't have a whole lot of pass-catching talent behind those guys. So I still think that there is a chance for Austin Hooper to ascend. And I think that and that's why I have him ranked a little bit aggressively here. I think that he's a good player. He just never became a really big part of their passing offense last season. I think that that could change in year 2 under the OC Steve Sarkisian.
Number 16, another guy that you referenced, is O.J. Howard.
Yeah, whereas Austin Hooper, I don't think that his ADP is going to move a whole lot. I think that O.J. Howard's will. I think that he is going to be a really popular second-year breakout candidate. Led the Bucs in yards per reception at 16.6 as a rookie. Showed red zone ability. He was a guy that was not super productive at Alabama on a run-first team where he did a lot of blocking. But I thought that he showed a lot as a receiver in his limited opportunities as a rookie, and he got on the field a ton. He played about 70% of the Bucs' offensive snaps when he was healthy.
Number 15, Charles Clay.
Kind of know what you're getting with Charles Clay. He's got between 500 and 560 receiving yards in each of his 3 years in Buffalo. He has battled injuries. He's battled like recurring knee problems actually since they signed him from Miami. So that's going to be an ongoing concern. He did finish last season healthy, and I don't think he doesn't need any off-season surgeries. We don't know who the Bills quarterback is going to be, and that adds a layer of uncertainty about him. But I think that ultimately we know that Charles Clay has a pretty secure role, and we kind of know what we're going to get out of him. And that makes him a safe guy, not necessarily an upside guy.
Number 14, as we get into the top 14 here, Jared Cook. This is an interesting one.
Set a career high in yards, 688 yards last year in his first season with the Raiders. There are continued whispers that Michael Crabtree may be released. Also, like John Gruden comes out and says positive things about Crabtree. We don't know what's going to happen there with Michael Crabtree. I think if Michael Crabtree moves on, the arrow kind of teeters up on Jared Cook and his opportunity. We could also see Jared Cook released. You know, that's not something that is entirely out of the question with a new coaching staff. And I know that they can pull all of his salary right off the books in their salary cap. I think that based on his play, he played well last year as a receiving tight end. I think that based on a 2017 play, he should be back as the Raiders' primary pass-catching tight end. And as we talked about on the quarterback, in the quarterback podcast, I think that Derek Carr takes a step forward this year after taking a step back last year.
Number 13, old man Jason Witten.
Yeah, old reliable. He turns 36 in May. We know he doesn't have a big ceiling, but his role is safe. I don't think that he's going to be in danger of losing his role. And he has 60 or more catches in 14 straight years. I think that Jason Witten is probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, 60-plus catches, if you know you're getting 60-plus catches out of him. That's enough for him to be a top 15 guy in any fantasy format that awards points for receptions.
Number 12, George Kittle.
Going a little aggressive on George Kittle, paired up with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he can explode if he wins the 49ers' full-time tight end job. First half of last season, he looked to be on his way to winning that full-time 49ers starting tight end job. He battled some injuries, some inconsistency, you know, as many rookie tight ends do, and he was not a full-time player by the end of the year. He was sharing time with Garrett Celek. I think he's good. I think that he is good, and he just kind of went through some ups and downs that most rookie tight ends would deal with. I think that, again, you know, if he can really win the trust of Jimmy Garoppolo, and they had some big games together down the stretch last season. I want to say it was against Jacksonville. George Kittle had a number of big games last season and really flashed, and he was a really good blocker at Iowa. So I'm excited about him. I have him ranked aggressively here as a top 12 tight end.
Yeah, how about it? 11, Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron has been a top 15 fantasy tight end each of the last 3 years. He was a difference maker in the 2017 fantasy playoffs. I think that we can kind of maybe give up the hope that he becomes a top 5 fantasy tight end. But he has, again, he's been a top 15 guy each of the last 3 years. He's still young. He's 24, 25 years old. And, you know, I think he's just, you know, like a pick that you're not particularly excited about, but he can definitely beat his ADP. You know, everyone's always down on him, and I mean, for good reason. But I think that he can return and beat his ADP if just a couple things go right. He's got a locked in role. He's actually due over $8 million this year, but the Lions are going to bring him back at that salary. I think that they believe in him as a player. And I do like that he showed progress late last season.
Number 10, Greg Olsen.
33 years old. He missed 9 games with a broken foot last year. Greg Olsen going into last season, like, hadn't missed a game in a decade, which is just ridiculous at the tight end position. You think about, you know, all these guys that have dealt with injuries, Gronk, Ertz a little bit, Jimmy Graham a little bit, Jordan Reed a lot, Tyler Eifert a lot. I mean, this is not an easy position to play. And Greg Olsen for like a decade didn't miss a game, which was just absurd. You look at the Panthers pass catcher core right now, you know, Curtis Samuel is kind of promising, but didn't do a whole lot as a rookie, and he's coming off a really severe leg injury. And then Devin Funchess, he'll be back for his contract year, but there's not a lot beyond that. I think that Greg Olsen, again, returns as a huge part of the Panthers passing game. That Jones fracture that he had, that can be recurring. So I think that that is a concern, but I think that ultimately he is in position to get a lot of targets in a Norv Turner offense. Norv Turner was praised, you know, over the years for the tight end production in his offense, from Chris Cooley to, of course, Antonio Gates to Jordan Cameron in Cleveland. I think that Greg Olsen, he should be a pretty safe pick with upside in 2018.
Number nine, Evan Engram.
He's going to lose targets with Odell Beckham back. I mean, you have to understand that Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall were both lost for the season early last year. And so that just totally changed the complexion of the Giants' passing game. Obviously, the Giants' passing game wasn't very good, but guys were getting targets, and that's why you saw Sterling Shepard have some big games, and you saw Evan Engram have some really big games. We've got him as a top nine tight end here. I don't think that he is going to be, he's definitely not going to be the Giants' number one pass option week to week as he so often was last season. But I think that he's got big playability, and I think that he will remain a really big part of the Giants' passing game, good enough to be a top 10 fantasy tight end.
All right, now we got number eight, Delaney, don't call me Delaney Walker, for people that have been longtime listeners of the Fantasy Feast podcast.
Delaney Walker, still Marcus Mariota's favorite option. He's gone over 800 yards in four straight years. That is very impressive production consistency from Delaney Walker. Long-term, really like his backup, Jonnu Smith. And I think that he is a name to file away in dynasty leagues. I think that if Delaney Walker were to get hurt, which Delaney Walker gets hurt a lot, but he never misses games. He's a friggin' warrior. He is just a solid pick. And again, I like attaching him as the number one option for Marcus Mariota, a quarterback that I think is going to take a big step forward in 2018. So I like that attachment to Marcus Mariota.
Number seven, Kyle Rudolph from the Vikings.
Kyle Rudolph lost 51 targets in 2017 following the 2016 season. Due in large part to Adam Thielen's emergence. But he scored 15 touchdowns in the last 2 years. And I think that he's just a fixture in the Vikings offense. What we would really like to see is Kirk Cousins go be the quarterback in Minnesota. I think that would really strengthen and solidify the outlooks for his pass catchers, Kyle Rudolph in particular. But I think that you are getting a proven touchdown scorer, still pretty young, 28 years old, and I think that he's got a locked in role. We do want to know who the quarterback is going to be, but I think ultimately it's going to be maybe Kirk Cousins, maybe Case Keenum, which I think would be fine for Kyle Rudolph coming back.
Number six, Hunter Henry from the Chargers.
Hunter Henry, his arrow is still pointing up. The Chargers were kind of, they tried to use Antonio Gates probably a little bit more than they should have last season. I think that if Gates comes back this year, I would expect his role to be smaller than it was last season. And as the season progressed, Hunter Henry's role grew anyway, and he wound up finishing the season on injured reserve. He's going to be healthy. Pro Football Focus has a bunch of statistics. One of their most predictive statistics, just predicting like how good a player is yards per route run. And they've shown it for it's been really predictive for wide receivers. It's been good for identifying wide receivers that were up and coming. And among tight ends last year, only Rob Gronkowski had more yards per route run than Hunter Henry. He was really, really efficient with his opportunities, and I think that he will continue to get more and more opportunities going forward. So I think that he takes a step forward and has the big year that I think a lot of people hope that he would have last season, Hunter Henry.
Number five, Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle caught 80 passes with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback last year, so I think that kind of shows us his floor with Jacoby Brissett. And then if we get Andrew Luck, he gets a lot more touchdown upside. So, the tight end really drops off, I think, after the top three, who we'll talk about in a minute. But I think that Jack Doyle has a high enough floor and a high enough ceiling if Andrew Luck comes back healthy that he belongs in this mix.
Number four, Jimmy Graham. This is an interesting one also.
Yeah, 31 years old. He averaged 24 yards per game over the Seahawks' final eight games last year. You know, would just kind of disappear at times in the Seahawks passing game. I don't know where he's going to play in 2018. I think that the best bet would be for him to return to Seattle. They certainly could use him. They may lose Paul Richardson in free agency, so that means they would be returning Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett and like Tanner McAvoy and Luke Wilson actually is a free agent too. But they have, you know, a bunch of guys that are not really proven and don't really project as full-time players behind Doug Baldwin. Even Tyler Lockett probably fits into that that category as a guy that probably isn't ready for a full-time role. At least he didn't look like it last season. So there's a lot of pass-catching uncertainty. Jimmy Graham caught a lot of touchdowns last year, led the NFL in targets around the goal line. I think that ultimately you probably want him back in Seattle. It's just there's a significant drop-off after the top three here, and they become difficult to rank. Jimmy Graham, Jack Doyle, Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph, Delanie Walker, Evan Engram, Greg Olson, that rounds out the top 10, but I think that there's a drop-off after the top three.
Number three is my guy, Zach Ertz.
Yes, he was last year's number three fantasy tight end behind Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. A knock on Zach Ertz for a long time was that he just didn't score touchdowns. And he didn't score a lot of touchdowns at Stanford. And he had not scored a lot of touchdowns in the NFL before last season. And then all of a sudden he starts scoring touchdowns and he's awesome in fantasy. And if you actually just look at his counting stats, you know, on a sheet of paper, his historical counting stats, his receptions and yards were really no different from the past couple of years. He just started scoring touchdowns, and that was the difference maker for Zach Ertz. Do I think he's going to – I mean, he may regress. The thing is that he's attached to Carson Wentz in this great Eagles offense. So he's a guy that you want to bet on and not bet against. And I think that he's worked his way very arguably into that first tier of tight ends. I don't know. I mean, I think that probably Gronk and Kelce are probably still in their own tier. But Zach Ertz is awfully close, if not right there with him.
So then let's get to it. Let's get to you have Kelce number two.
Yeah, Travis Kelce in PPR scoring has outscored Rob Gronkowski each of the past two seasons. He had 83 catches this past year. Rob Gronkowski only had 69. So, I mean, Travis Kelce is awesome, you know, and I think that there is some, like, he may be a little bit more volatile with the new quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But I also think that this offense can get more explosive with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. And I think that that bodes well enough for the pass catchers. I mean, ultimately, you know, Travis Kelce, he's one of the easier guys to get the ball to in the Chiefs offense. And he's really, really good at the game. I mean, his run after catch skills are the best of any tight end in the NFL. He's got very good hands. And I think that he's, at this stage of their respective careers, I think he's a better, more fluid athlete than Rob Gronkowski is.
Well, but that's still who you have, number one, Rob Gronkowski. Even though, Evan, all these concerns or talk about retirement, I'm guessing you're not buying that.
I'm not buying it. Still playing at a super, super high level. I understand, you know, that feeling, you know, especially after, like, losing a Super Bowl, that's got to be a heartbreaking situation. But, you know, that feeling just after the game of feeling like, you know, what's next, you know? But he's going to have a healthy offseason, man. He's not going to have any surgeries this offseason. He has been the number one overall fantasy tight end in non-PPR scoring three of the last 4 years. He's the best tight end to ever play, and he's not old. You know, he's 28, 29. So I trust him to come back and I trust him to have another big season. He's always a little bit of an injury risk. You know, I think that we can kind of count on him to miss 1 to 3 games per season. 2015 or 2016 was bad because he missed like over half the season. But this past season, he only missed 2 games. One of them was due to a suspension. The other one was because they were playing the Bucks on Thursday Night Football on a short week. And he had like a little bit of a hamstring injury. So he was healthy last year. He did have a concussion. But he was healthy for the most part this past season. And I think that he's going to return.
Evan, that was amazing. I guess you can't just do it over and over again, but I feel like we could just do rankings every week, and I love it. Can't get enough of getting your logic, your thoughts on these players ahead of free agency, ahead of the draft. Makes it fascinating, and then obviously we'll see what happens with your rankings after that, and then we do the tiers of Evan, often imitated, never duplicated, right before the season starts, or right before you guys start doing your season-long drafts. Really appreciate those of you that listen to the show and tell your friends about it. One of the easiest ways to do that is just social media, retweets, likes, those type of things. That helps. That way your friends and family know that you like the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. You can also download us multiple times on multiple devices when you're bored or watching TV or whatever. iTunes rankings and comments, huge and much appreciated. And then if you ever want to ask Evan a question, just email me, ross@rostucker.com, especially if you take advantage of any of the sponsors over at rostucker.com. Boom, you're all set. There's amazing sponsors and lots of them over at rostucker.com. like Dollar Shave Club and SeatGeek and Bet Online and all kinds of things, or just the Amazon banner ad and PayPal. If you just want to make a contribution, ask your question that way. Other than that, I'm totally stuffed from what Evan served up here. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the True Car price, the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car you want. And your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.